Welcome to Ichigo's fiscal year February 2018 first half earnings results call. I would now like to turn the call over to Ichigo Chairman Scott Callon. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Scott Callon from Ichigo. Thank you everybody for joining. I'm working off of our H1 corporate presentation, first half corporate presentation, which is on the web. So I'll be referring to that. Let's start, go to page 6. First half of this year, OP is down 16%, net income's down 26%. Those are not numbers that you would normally celebrate. It's as per plan, though. We forecast for the year that OP would be down 5% and net income down 9%. We had both an extraordinary year last year and some extraordinary gains, particularly that impacted net income. But this is the way it should be. Much more kind of coming in the first half of last year than this year, and so we'll catch up as the year progresses. 66% progress against the full year net income forecast. We're continuing to generate very, very high profitability in terms of our operating efficiency, 45% gross profit margin, 38% operating profit margin. That gives us, in the first half, 12.6 billion yen of OP operating profit and 8.8 billion yen of net income. And by the way, I should say that it's not only me today. I'm joined by Mr. Tetsuya Ted Fujita, who is our lead independent director, and Dan Morisaku from our finance department. Going to page 7, you see the breakdown of segment earnings. Asset management is down year on year, but the stock, kind of the ongoing AM fees, are up 31%. We did two REIT transactions last year, which had one-off fees attached to them. They're not coming in. But we continue to have ongoing performance fees. We get a carry on successful growth in NOI on Ichigo Office REIT, and that's going very, very well, and it continues to be a supportive element of our asset management business. Value add, you can see on the right-hand side the earnings drivers that are broken out. Decrease in profits on sale, that's a relatively significant year-on-year. Rental income is off a little bit. That's because we sold some assets. But value add is also very much on track. We expect to meet or beat our forecast for this year. Clean energy, the earnings drivers are split between a gain on sale of two power plants, Ichigo Green, and our fit solar power sales. You can see we're at 75% of the forecast as of this year. I'll talk about Ichigo Shomura, which is the largest solar power plant in the Tokyo region, which has come online. That's going to give us, we've got clear visibility in terms of earnings of this business because it's contractually guaranteed relative to solar power production, which is very, very stable. So it looks like we're going to go through this forecast pretty easily. Turn to page 8. It just outlines how we generate earnings both through stock and flow. So the stock earnings are contractual. They're primarily rental income, asset management fees, and fit solar power sales. And then and we have, in addition to that, we have flow earnings based on our value-add activity. So they're primarily profits on our value-add real estate sales. You can see that as of the first half, we had more contribution from flow. But on the right-hand side, you see the full-year forecast has split roughly between half and half in stock and flow earnings, and we expect to get there. Page 9 shows our average interest rates and loan terms. We continue to borrow very, very long. We think that's very important for our shareholders. And so average borrowing term continues to be about 11 years. By the way, I mean, that's a very long number. I don't think there should be any problem at all if we borrow for 9 years or 8 years, but we are able to borrow consistently at very, very low rates for very long. So we pushed it out of the double-digit average loan maturity. And as you can see, our financing costs continue to fall. The 1.3% is on the full book, so just so you know, new borrowings are happening below 1%. Turning to page 11, you can see what we do in terms of buy-sell activity this half. I'd point out that the acquisitions, of which there are 49 of them, for a total of 25 billion yen. On the bottom it says sales of 14 billion yen. That's book value. Since we made someone's money on these, on an actual real size sale value, the number is $22 billion. So we actually only bought a tiny bit more than we sold during the first half. And the reason for that is it's a very, very strong market for sellers. And it's, you know, there continues to be a really big spread between where we finance and where we can own assets and add valued assets. But you know, the reality is that cap rates have come in very significantly. So we've actually choosing to try to do other things in order to acquire assets at prices that are lower. So what I've shown on the page here is you see you have retail, one asset, hotel, three assets. Those are kind of through our classic channels of buying activity. And then we have three different kind of brand new ways of trying to get assets at better prices. One is buying small assets that we think are going to be appropriate for Ichigo owners, clients, and we'll be able to get a good return on. You can see we did 8 assets in that category. We bought Centro through an M&A transaction. It is the case that public real estate, Centro happens to be private, but public real estate is trading at a discount, so to private real estate in general. So using M&A as a way to get access to cheap real estate is, we think, one way of getting better pricing. We've actually gone into new asset types. We've made entry in logistics. By the way, these are not really big listed logistics, which we think is kind of over, which has got a lot of competition in it. These are kind of smaller logistic plays that where there's a package. There's a shortage of capacity in package delivery in Japan right now. There's a labor shortage in general. The package delivery guys are suffering from it. They want smaller kind of mid-tier delivery areas that are smaller in size, so we started doing some work in there. We think there are decent returns. And I'll discuss in slightly more detail. We've entered the self-storage space, which we all think has very interesting economics. And on the sales side, as you can see, we sold 5 assets. Book value was, as I said, $14 billion, but the sale price was $22 billion. Turning to page 12, a very large value-add asset sale. You can see that the appraisal value, the expectation was that we were going to sell this for about 400 million yen above our book, which is about 7 billion yen. In fact, we sold it at twice that. So our realized return was almost 20x, was 19x higher than what the appraisers thought we were going to sell this at. And that's, you know, that's a function of, it was a very good asset. We had done the work over a number of years to make it such that the tenants were going to, it was going to be an empty building so you could actually do redevelopment. And that can be a very long process in Japan. So it was a multi-year effort working with tenants such that the building is going to become free and clear with no tenants in it by spring. And in that case, the asset was worth far more. If you look at page 13, you can see that are continue to have significant unrealized gains on the balance sheet. So that's because we sold this asset. As you can see, despite the huge profits on it, it only had appraisal value unrealized gains of 400 million yen, 390 million yen. So it really doesn't affect the unrealized gains on the balance sheet. We should have put these numbers on the page, and so I apologize. I'm going to tell them to you. But as you can see right now we have about 80 billion yen of 85 billion yen, to be exact, of shareholder equity. The appraisers think that on top of that, we've got about another 40 billion yen, 39.1 billion yen, an appraisal value, which is fine. Just to give you some sense of where that's been. 2 years ago, February 2015, the appraisal value was 18.9 billion yen, so we've had a doubling in unrealized gains in the last 2 years. Last February, it was at 27.7 billion. As of this February 2017, it was 36.5. So entering this year, the appraisers think we've added about 2.6 billion yen in terms of the value. We think there's more value here, without question, that there's probably at least 60 billion yen or more of unrealized gains on the balance sheet. It's a way of saying that, you know, we generate profits that appear only as profits on an accounting basis when we sell an asset. The ongoing value add work we do is, you know, is tangible. It's driven by increases in NOI. The appraisers see it, so they on a regular basis. Their numbers may be too slow, but the trend gives a very good indication of the kind of value that we're adding to on an ongoing basis to our assets. Page 14 shows what we've done with the Tradopia Odaiba asset. That was a very big purchase, nearly $300 million. We completed it last fall. And, you know, we do what we do. We try to be the best owner for tenants, to have the single best tenant experience by focusing on tenant needs. And so we surveyed the tenants, and we got to work on the basis of the survey results. My favorite example, you can see all the people lining up here in front of the lunch trucks. This is my favorite example of how we add value at enormous returns to the shareholders, which is to say, the number one complaint in the tenant survey was there's no place to eat. This building has a convenience store, a very nice one, in the very first floor, but there's no place to eat. And so we addressed that. We addressed that by going out to finding out. We also went through the process of understanding what employees' budgets were, what they were interested in doing, and then we went out and we contacted a bunch of lunch trucks and ended up getting six of them to come in. It's cost nothing, zero, 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 but it addressed the single biggest tenant issue that was in the building. And so, you know, it is real. It really does drive satisfaction. I don't think it's only in Japan. The idea of having like a terribly uninteresting lunch can be relatively depressing globally. So we solved that issue for the employees in this building. We increased cleaning service quality. We renovated and improved common areas. We improved. There was an accessibility issue for people with disabilities. We fixed it. We were actually doing work on the elevators, which are not set up efficiently to deal with people coming in the morning where it really backs up, and that's going to be fixed, and it takes a software fix, but we're doing it. We've strengthened the BCP capabilities and worked with all the tenants and companies on how we're going to address that. We've done significant work on building security. This was a single-tenant building that really didn't do, really wasn't built for having lots of people coming in and out. So we added security cameras coverage. We added security personnel. It's a better building, without question. A lot better building from the perspective of tenants. And these are soft service changes that are very low cost, but very directly address the needs of tenants. The result of that is we're driving higher earnings. So to turn economically to how this is added value for our shareholders, we've been able to raise rents. At this point, 44% of the total building has renewed an average of plus 23%. You can see that new tenants are also coming in at plus 21%, so effectively the same. I mean, we've been able to take up rents over 20%. That's on the top line. On the bottom line, we are tenacious about making sure that money is spent on services for tenants and not wasted. We believe that we've both cut the servicing costs by 20% and actually improved the service standards for the tenants, and that's the feedback we're actually getting from them. We reduced energy consumption by 70% through a VAD, LED lighting retrofit. So this is what we do. This is a large building, but the elements of the playbook, which is to focus on what's important to tenants and to deploy capital in a maximally efficient way on that basis, is proven to be successful at Trade PR.org also. Turning to page 15, we're showing some examples. We've got lots of buildings, and we're doing lots of things on a regular basis. This is an example of us taking a building and effectively kind of re-tenanting it with higher grade tenants and turning it into a little bit of a destination. It's in Jiyogoka, which is a nice fashion hub in central Tokyo. We also implemented our quality, Ichigo quality standard, which is the standard services that we provide to our tenants, and NOI is up 20%. Going to page 16, where we talk about clean energy, we launched Ichigo Shoamura 4 months ahead of schedule. It actually went into test production in July. On September 2nd, we went into full fit, 36 yen per kilowatt production. It's the largest solar power plant in the Tokyo region, 43 megawatts. The 20-year earnings contribution is expected to be high. The original plan with this business, by the way, was that it was going to be a capital gains driver, because we thought we were going to be able to sell into vehicles such as Ichigo Green or into the open market at we thought was much higher prices. It's proved not to be the case. We continue to think Ichigo Green, although it's up from its IPO price, is very, very cheap. This may end up being the case that we just end up keeping these assets for us, that they become a source of stock earnings and a source of earning stability because they're completely unrelated to anything with the real estate cycle. But anyway, this is a very nice to have this asset come online. So at this point, we have 43 plants, 130 megawatts operating in development. 100 of that is ICH, is us. 30 megawatts of that is Ichigo Green. We've got another 35 megawatts in our solar pipeline right now. There'll be some fall off on that. If that were all done, I'd announce it's all done. But those are situations where we think that they're likely to become actual real projects for us. In addition to the additional 35 megawatts of solar, we've got a 41 megawatts in wind that we're working on right now. Wind takes longer. You have a whole process around confirming that there'll be wind data surveys and you do that because wind can move around quite a bit from year to year over multiple years and make sure these are assets that are going to be productive for the shareholders. Page 17, Ichigo office. We continue to work on the growth strategy there. As you can see, EPS on the bottom of the page continues to grow nicely. Per share NAV is up 24% over the last 2 years. This is about kind of working with tenants and supporting their needs and making sure the rents are appropriate to the quality that we deliver. But we also have, and we've highlighted on the page some other things that we're doing. We have done our very first bond issuance. It was small. It's 10 years at below 100 basis points. We think that's pretty good value. We would expect over time to expand our direct borrowing through the bond market. And we were awarded a GRESB Green Star ranking, which is the highest ranking. Within that, the 4 out of 5 stars. We continue to work. I mean, the core of the firm is a focus on sustainability, and that includes not just a clean energy business, but everything that we do. Page 18, Ichigo Hotel. The focus continues to be on accretive growth for shareholders. We believe we've accomplished that. You can see the movement in NOI and the dividend on the bottom of the page. Nonetheless, the stock continues to be, we think, very cheap. We announced a buyback this week. We are the second REIT to actually do a buyback in Japanese history. With a share price at a 20% discount to NAV, we thought it was the right way to grow value for shareholders. Page 19 shows Ichigo Green. It continues to do very well. Earnings came in above forecast for the June fiscal period. You know, there's going to be further growth. We were able to use some additional cash on hand to buy 2 more power plants. You can see both substantial growth from the start into where we are right now, and we're going to have a very stable ongoing earnings stream. We talk about the dividend in excess of earnings. That's used as a tax shield of depreciation. That's actually, we are distributing something that's by accounting standards, non-income, but it actually comes entirely from the cash flows, meaning because we are depreciating the solar panel assets, we get a tax shield, and so we have depreciation costs that offset income, but in fact, this is all going to shareholders out of genuine cash flows. So even at the current share price, it's a little bit over 110,000 yen per share. If you can see a 7,000 plus a dividend, this is above a 6% yield that is in effect guaranteed for 20 years. The risk on it is solar panel operating and power plant operating risk. And we think both the history of that industry and our operating history demonstrates that risk is actually very low. So this is a very, very high return for the owners of Ichigo Green shares. We are doing new things, as we do. So turning to page 20, we've done market entry via Ichigo Owners. To remind you, this is a asset management business for primarily individuals and cash-rich corporations. We work for clients up until the start of Owners, which we launched in March of this year, access to our asset management services were only through our REITs, or overwhelmingly through our REITs, and so this has become a way for us to work for clients outside of the REIT structure. We have, at this point, 50 clients, 100 institutions that we're working with. Meaning 50 clients are people we're talking to. We've actually started doing some transactions. We've acquired the real estate that's appropriate to this client base. And as you can see on the bottom of the page, we have, for example, two assets that we've already have in this business that we're working for clients on. On the right-hand side, the Hiro asset, which is in the retail asset that's in central Tokyo, we re-tenanted it. Increased the rent by 10% on that basis, NOI by more. So that is an example of how our ongoing kind of value activity will work to the benefit of tenants within this business. So we think there is an interesting opportunity here and expect to grow it over time to be a significant earnings driver for the firm. Page 21 addresses a self-storage market entry. This one also is interesting. It's harder because storage assets tend to be relatively small, so we have to grow this one and grow it pretty hard. We do have a plan to increase new openings and new, in other words, generate new self-storage facilities by 5x over the next 5 years. We would expect this to be kind of order of magnitude. Depends on how much we do this via lease activity and how much we own the underlying real estate. But this is probably something on the order of $40 to $200 million U.S. in terms of the investment would be. Very nice asset. So the key issue, and this is very similar to clean energy, which we understood from the very beginning. Solar power is a terrific, terrific place to put money to work. And so the key is, can you get big? Self-storage is very much the same way. Once you lease these things up, you have enormously powerful economics, and people tend to stay in their self-storage facilities. So they're powerful economics that are durable over time. So we're working as hard as we can to grow this business. Page 22 shows another market entry. We will be opening The Knot, which is our first boutique hotel in Yokohama in December. Sorry, this should have an in on the page. Opening in Yokohama in December. And we would expect to roll out this to other locations. Japan actually, and for those of you, you don't even want to be too pinpointed on it, but think kind of like Ace Hotel. Japan does not have very much in terms of a product offering this category, a place where you'd actually want to be. It's not just a box. It's got some design elements. It's got, delicious food and places to be. It's got funky and interesting people around and a vibe to it. So we think this is really pretty interesting. We'll see how it goes. But we opened in December, and we would have fully expected to be successful and be able to expand it. And as you know, look, we start small. If it works, we expand on it. If it doesn't, we roll it up, and we learn something from the experience. So we'll see what happens with this area. Page 23 just points to, as a reminder, in effect, since we haven't talked before, what our dividend policy is. It is DOE-based, meaning it doesn't jump around based on movement in period-to-period earnings. It has far more stability to that. And the nice thing about a DOE policy, which is based on dividend on equity, right, is if your shareholder equity grows, then your dividend grows, right? So unlike we made 100 last year, we made 100 this year, therefore our dividend is flat based on our payout policy. If you made 100, then you're a shareholder and you haven't paid all of that, your shareholder equity goes up and you pay a higher dividend. So it does imply a growing dividend over time, which is fine. It's also a progressive dividend policy, which is explicitly a growing dividend over time. We've done 5 years of dividend growth at this point. We've got two more in this year's forecast and next year's midterm plan, and we fully expect to get there. We also announced today on page 24 a second buyback of the year. The good news is that we're generating significant amounts of cash, enormously productive. We have 55 billion yen, $500 million of cash right now. We can both invest in the things that we want to invest. and buy back shares to shrink share count and increase EPS, and so we're doing so. Those are my opening comments, and I'm very happy to take questions or any and all feedback. Again, thank you so much for joining. Operator, we can move to Q&A.
Well, our first question comes from Greg. Your line is now open.
Hi, Scott. This is Greg at Point 72. Thank you for the call.
Thanks, Greg.
Two questions, please. One is regarding the Ichigo owners and sales storage. This seems to be maybe part of the area where you will invest more capital going forward. I was wondering if this is as efficient for you from a personnel point of view and therefore from a return on time perspective compared to larger buildings. And the second question is just an update on the situation for the hotel assets. What are you seeing at the moment? Are you seeing a continued recovery? Just basically a bit of background behind the your willingness to buy back shares for the REIT. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. So look, owners and so Ichigo owners and self storage are slightly different in terms of the use of personnel. So I'll start with owners, which is clearly more hands on, and so we obviously are aware of that. Having said that, I think we probably have 5 or 6 people in the business right now. I mean, it is. We're still doing transactions that are kind of multiple millions of dollars and up. So the economics work. We get the servicing costs are slightly higher. The fees that we get reflect servicing costs also. So on our REIT services, REIT product, we get about 70 basis points. This one is more like 100 basis points plus. So the economics work. But as you can see, one of the things that we put in the presentation is we were working on some IT solutions also. I mean, software is eating the world, and we're very aware of that. So there are things that we are working on to try to deliver in the optimal kind of way, higher efficiency. But it's an interesting question as to how we'll grow headcount in this. I mean, which is a way of saying, give you a little bit of color. Let's say there are about 5 in the business right now. I think 5 or 6. A year from now, that could be 8 or 9, and maybe 2 years from now, that could be 20 if it really, really, really explodes. But we're not going to suddenly have like 150 people in this business. This firm is very, very productive on a per head basis, and that's not going to change. We're about 200 people, and we do kind of all the business that we do. Now. Self-storage is really efficient. Just so you know, we have no one on site at any of our storage facilities. It is all entirely automated, running on sensors, very similar to our clean energy business, which we run all over the country entirely on an automated basis with about 10 people in the head office here. So that one is much easier to grow without any kind of big change in headcount. Did I answer your questions on that?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, and so on hotels, hotel market is turned up. So you can see the disclosure from our REIT. Year on year, we're up about 3% on revenue. That includes the fixed rent hotels, which aren't really as big of a driver of earnings. And the variable rent area is about 4%. So that's been helpful. There continues to be a very, very big increase in inbound activity. There also continues to be increase in hotel supply in Minpaku, the Airbnb's kind of activity like in Japan. So it's doing fine. Our returns in hotels, as it should be, are higher. I'd have to pull the number for you, but probably definitely a 6% handle in terms of the cap rate. So we're earning 600 basis plus, even without the value-add benefits that we generally get from improving the returns in our hotels, and we're financing them at kind of, as I say, the new stuff at, say, 80 basis points. So the returns continue to look very, very good. Nonetheless, I mean, we are. This is the most economically sensitive and sensitive to kind of the so-called sharing economy of the assets that we own. And so, you know, we don't have any intent to grow in any sort of way our hotel assets. If you see us bring in new hotel assets, overwhelmingly it's going to be because we sold other ones. And you'll see us shifting towards things like boutique hotels rather than business hotels. They're just more protective. And I should point out that the I haven't seen final pricing on it, but order of magnitude, the NOD is probably going to come in at, say, like $120, $130, $140 a night. I mean, this is actually incredibly good value. So we're not kind of taking any very big risks there. But it's an uptick. That's meaningful relative to kind of like $70 to $80 that we get from the business type of hotels. Did that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Chris. Your line is now open.
Hi, Scott. It's Chris Taylor at Martin Curry.
Hi, Chris.
Just wondering on the solar side, why you now think that the model of developing and selling to your REIT isn't going to work for you, and what your plans are for new solar projects.
We think the pricing is too cheap. So I'm happy. I'm very happy to take feedback on that. But you know, these are very valuable assets. So to be clear, you know, we're generating 9% to 11% NOIs unlevered on these. We're able to borrow at 90% LTV at less than 100 basis points. When you run the math on it, you know, these are 20%, 30%, 40% return sorts of vehicles. It's stable 20. The 20% return sorts of return, stable, guaranteed for 20 years. Those are super powerful economics. Yeah, we can sell them, and we can sell them and earn returns. And we actually did sell some more assets, two assets to Ichigo Green to kind of help bump it along to see if that's going to be enough to get it to pricing where this can become kind of a securitization engine. But if the pricing is not what we think is high enough relative to the returns available to our shareholders, we keep on balancing. We keep on balancing. Very little operating risk. Very mature technologies. If people think solar is high tech, it really isn't. Get very personal about it, my older brother, I'm 52, sold solar panels door to door in California when we were in high school 35 years ago. So this is an old technology. But if the price is right, you know, we'll sell stuff. So it's really a function of where the market is. At even with Joe Green at 110,000 ish, that doesn't look super attractive to us. Does that make sense? I mean, and I'm happy to take feedback on it.
Sure, and the implications for how much more capacity you have in Ichigo itself for new solar projects?
Am I allowed to use the word infinite? I mean, it's you know, we would love to do more solar. I mean, the economics are just as I described. It continues to offer super normal returns, meaning I didn't mean that using over a fancy word, returns that are as powerful I've seen in my entire career. The good news is, even though Japanese government has halved the FIT, panel prices have over halved during the same period, that's the primary driver of cost. EPC costs have come in. You know, the economics to this business continue to be enormously powerful. And look, we'd like to grow our earnings, and we'd like to grow the stability of earnings. And so you can do three things. You can grow your stock earnings, you can grow your flow earnings, and you can also grow the diversity, the uncorrelated earnings within flow, which are the ones that kind of move around. We like the fact that, as I said earlier, that solar and wind are completely unrelated to the real estate cycle, and you don't put any money in the ground up front. You have the banks at the very beginning were very wary of solar and like, okay, fine, if you give a corporate guarantee, we'll only net 70% LTV. Now they'll give you 95% LTV non-recourse. I mean, the banks have come to understand this is probably the single safest asset for them to lend against, and they're desperate to lend. So, you know, we'll take it on. That I said infinite, we're not going to get even close to that. This is, everyone has understood this. We are advantaged in this space. It is very hard work to get more done. But if we can get it done, we will either keep it or we'll sell it. It's going to be a function of the price available. But I think actually keeping has proven to be, I mean, I think it's changed from the very beginning. At the very beginning, we had bank wariness and corporate and all that sort of thing. And now it's just kind of the debt terms are so compelling with so much of very little shareholder capital required to do this. And in operating history, and of course we have property and casualty insurance, you know, against any and all disasters. We have performance guarantees from the manufacturers. This is like bulletproof in 600 different ways. And I say that as a very cautious person. This is very compelling value, which is another reason why if Ichigo Green isn't at the right price, if it's not a bit out in the market at the right price, we're just going to keep these assets. Does that make sense?
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's good.
Our next question comes from Will. Your line is now open.
Oh, hi. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Will.
Will Montgomery. Hi.
You were at Shore and Order yesterday.
Yes, I was. That was, was very interesting. Thank you.
So you can actually speak as a direct witness to this.
Well, yes, I guess the cost per megawatt at that plan is $3 million roughly, and the current price I was told has dropped to half of that. So, yes, and even at the new 21 yen fit, that projects are, as you said, economical.
Yeah.
I am somewhat surprised. This is now just a response to the last question.
Yeah.
I am somewhat surprised to hear you say that at $110,000. That's above the IPO price, if I recall correctly. So somewhere around 1.05 or 1.09 NAV.
We issued 100 and now it's 100. It's over 100. It's 100, what, 12 or something like that?
It's over 100, right? So,
yeah, 111.
Could, you know, be the right price again. Are you saying that that's unsatisfying to you at that level?
I am.
Okay, fair enough. I'll take that on board. Next question.
Well, I mean, this should be very clear about this. I mean, it's as I described. I mean, we have these assets. You pay 100 for something. You put in 10 of equity. You earn 10 of return on it. Of course, so you have to amortize, and so you're paying back half of that. But you know, these are enormous returns. It's another way of saying we don't think Ichigo Green should be at 111,000. I mean, it literally could be at 200,000. It's paying a 6% dividend right now. I mean, it could literally be at 200,000 yen, and that would still offer compelling value to shareholders. That's not where the market is pricing right now. It's not, and to be clear, we have a very significant ongoing effort to talk about Ichigo Green and the powerful economics and the tax shield that can be available from the depreciation and you know, it's conversations with tax accountants and all sorts of people. And so we have both, by no means have we given up on Ichigo Green, but you know, we think there's more value in these solar assets than the market is currently pricing them, would be our view. And again, I'm happy to take you put on that too.
And so, like, without haggling too much on price, though, let's say that it costs on average for your existing portfolio, let's call it $3 million a megawatt, and you have 100 in operations, and you can sell it for four in a bit. You're sitting on $100 million of unrealized gains that you could redeploy in new projects. So, what's going to stop you, or why would you want to not do that?
Because I don't need to redeploy.
At least
we have so much core earnings in the business that we've got kind of cash flow coming off our existing business that we can use to put into new projects. But I'm not fighting with you, Will. I mean, yes, if the right thing is that we have more, you know, we have places to earn, to use the money, and we should sell some of our solar assets to do so, we will do so. I mean, I think the second half of this conversation probably should be, you know, for better or for worse, we're not buying as much real estate. And that's a judgment where, you know, in retrospect, maybe we're going to prove to be overly cautious. Because, I mean, the mathematics of that is, you know, we finance at below 100, so call it like 80. We finance at 80. We can buy an asset for 400 that yields 4.5%, a 450 basis point NOI. It was 630 basis points, so it's up 40% over the last 3 years. And we're hesitating. And the hesitation is up a lot. But the argument to go forward is, well, it's still 450 basis points against funding at 80. And both arguments are exist. And so for the moment, we've chosen not to be going to take the market price. We've chosen to do a bunch of innovations about how we buy. We've chosen to do some innovations via particularly Ichigo owners on the low end about how we sell. Although that could be just not the small assets, but also small to medium assets, and see if we can kind of generate ongoing economics where we kind of look at 450 basis points and we say, you know, that's fine, and we're going to have a shorter period of time, and we can de-risk it in some sort of way in case, you know, prices back up. But this is a management team that survived the financial crisis, and we tend to be wary of significant market moves. Now, on the other hand, we haven't done a wholesale liquidation of our real estate portfolio because we are earning, you know, these very large returns, and the things that we own, we're doing significant value add work on, and quite frankly, the things that are weak in the portfolio, we have sold and will be selling. So the asset that we sold that was in Toronto, and the very big asset that we generated all these gains on, had almost no NOI in it, so it was really, really easy. I mean, it's like it's not contributing to our bottom line. We've done all the work that we need to do. It's done. It's going to be empty in the spring, and therefore it's time to sell it to somebody who wants to redevelop the site. We'll take our 14 billion yen from that and deploy it in new activity. Anyway, that was about the mentoring around. Go for it.
No, that's fine. No, very good. Thank you. Yeah, so... first question was on the credit rating of the office REIT. I just am wondering if you're making any lobbying efforts to JCR. I know that, you know, they don't look just at the REIT fundamentals. They look at the sponsor fundamentals, and I think arguably your balance sheet in many ways is improved, and so you have a good argument that JCR should bump that up. Are you? Do you have any views there? Are you making a lobbying effort? Can we expect anything soon?
Well, I mean, JCR will make whatever JCR's point, whatever they'll do. I don't know if I can comment on soon. I think realistically, they did bump us from outlook from stable to positive. So they've done their first marker on we like what you're doing and we're getting ready for you. It would have been nice if they had actually moved the credit rating as opposed to merely moving the outlook, but that's pretty typical. So we're clearly an uptrend. I mean, I think it's, you know, the correct expectation is that they lift their credit rating, and it's just a question of does it happen in 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, or God forbid, sometime longer than that. But the core, you know, the core profitability is exactly as you describe. You know, they see it. We are, and you know, I wouldn't say it's lobbying, but we spend time with all the credit agencies to go through carefully what we're doing, and that will continue.
Okay, thanks. Second question on the, just could you remind me on the trade PIA, because that's pretty phenomenal, 23% rent growth. Could you remind us of the economics of the purchase, like what was NOI at purchase, and what do you think NOI is going to be, like, let's say, next year? And then what was the cap rate at purchase, and what do you think we can expect in that?
So we bought it at a 4% NOI, and it's up 30% in a year, so it's now at 5.2.
Wow.
So that's good. You know, we think this is an asset that you should be able to sell given its quality. By the way, I mean, this is it's a very interesting question about how the Olympics are going to affect this area. This is a major Olympic site, as you know. So I don't know if we have a house view on this one. I think this is clearly something that should sell in the 3 year. We think there are. This is another example of very big embedded gains. It's been an important test run of can we take on larger assets and be productive for tenants. And we should all be aware that buildings are very specific and idiosyncratic. But there was some question, and I certainly had that also, as to whether we could actually do this well. And the team has executed exactly on plan. We do think there's more economic growth in this. It is our goal to get NOI actually up to more like 6%. But there's a lot more execution that has to happen around that. When we first talked about the asset, went through kind of in more detail on it. You should probably know it hasn't used the entire floor area ratio. There's an opportunity to possibly do additional development on the site. So there are some things that we think are still interesting. By no means do we think we're done. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, thanks. That's very helpful.
Thank you.
I'll.
We show no further question at this time.
Okay. Do you have a
comment on
that?
Yeah, I know.
What do you want to talk about?
If there's no question.
What do you want to talk about?
Well, as a board, we are very much satisfied overall the result, and it's a good progress in 3 years.
Excuse me, we show
no further question
at this time.
No more questions. We do have Ted Hujo, who's a lead independent here. Do you want to say anything before
we go? Yeah, on behalf of the board, maybe this second half numbers, we are fully satisfied. It's on track or over the track, and good progress in line with our 3 years plan, which we started last year. So, as Scott explained, operation-wise, very robust and strong sales and marketing. Not mentioned about that. I don't need to mention that. But in addition to that, we have to emphasize that very strong financial position, which we established, including unrealized gains. And the new element of the business like Ichigo Owners and also self storage, that's fascinating. And I'd like to add that in addition to this operation side, this company has a very strong corporate governance. Supported by the board members, external board members, and recently Ichigo satisfied this corporate governance code set by the Tokyo Stock Exchange, 73 requirements, comply or you may know the complying, or if not, you have to explain. But those, the 73 requirements will fully complied to do. And also we have a very a strong risk management team and quarterly board and audit committee, which I'm the chairman of the audit committee, reported the detailed risk analysis and the risk management sheet or program. So not only for Ichigo itself, but also all Ichigo Group companies. So that's also that backup, which is very, very progress, and was this is the strength of this company. And having said that, I think the board is especially the external board members are pretty satisfied. Also on behalf of the shareholders, there's strong sort of dividend in the position, and also the second share buyback we introduced amongst others. That's my comment.
Okay. Thank you very much. I think we're done. Is that right? So thank you very much, everyone. Thank you so much for joining.